And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
That
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you here this March 19th, 2022. Thankfully, we are stepping into spring tomorrow, and I'm ready for it. I am. I don't know about you. Well, we've got a full crew this morning, and we'll bring everybody on. Tim, thanks for being on this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Zach, up in Michigan, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, hopefully those storms didn't get you too bad. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you and welcome. We're glad you joined us, and we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and where it goes from there, you just don't know. We don't. Paul, I'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to talk to the world, Lord, and whatever's on our mind and whatever's anyone calls in, Lord, that we would service them in your way and that we'd be available for whatever that we need to do. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. And I think sometimes that's all God wants is us to be available, to acknowledge that to him. I remember reading that. I don't know where it was, back in Ezra, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, one of those places, that the people realized they wanted to re-covenant with God, and they realized they had sinned. They had taken foreign wives, and that's what they did. They went to the prophet, and they said, you know, this is your job. You go ahead and tell us what we need, what you need to tell us, and we're going to do it. But it's your responsibility. Now, you tell us. And I think that is a responsibility that most of the church, most of us today, I think, have just not been that big on the front burner, you might say. That, you know, the thoughts of, well, you can't fight City Hall, and they're going to do what they want to do anyway, and all this comes in. But when we get the opportunity, we certainly should not shrink back from doing what we should do, from saying what we should say, and being that living example. anyway, my thoughts this morning. But everybody, good morning. Welcome to the program, Remnant, the program, Coffee with the Wranglers. A opportunity for fellowship, to share our thoughts, maybe events of the day, and hopefully a little encouragement. I know when I'm done with this program, my batteries are recharged, that's for sure. I would ask everybody, keep Texas in prayer. They've got a wildfire out there, about 45,000 acres. It's called the Eastland Complex. They've had about 50 homes destroyed, people evacuated. It's been going a couple days now, and heavy winds, dry conditions, and I would ask that, no, it's not ripping through Houston, but a lot of small towns. I think a big church in a little town called Ranger burned down, and things like that. So, you know, at the end of winter, it is not normally wildfire grass fire season. But nevertheless, that's what they have going on there. So a lot of small towns. And I would ask you to keep those people, keep it in your daily prayers. It's part of, I sincerely think it's part of those birth pangs that we continue to feel, that continue to reverberate around the country and around the world. I don't know, any comments, agreements, disagreements? Richard, you're way off, or thoughts?
No, I was right.
You're right on. There's a tornado a couple weeks ago in Iowa and down in Florida. You know, it used to be in the spring when the cold met the warm, back when it all happened. They're happening all times of the year now. And the fires, like you said, it's just not predictable like it used to be, you know. It's the wrath of God. He's trying to get our attention. He will get it.
Yeah. You know, Paul, you mentioned that. Since we've been out here, we've kind of been involved with the fire department. Zach, I know that you are out there, and because we're about 15 miles out of town, so usually we can show up and help a little quicker than town can get there. And then we've been involved with the wildland fire. I've had a couple of my sons that have done that, and gone to other places in the country and helped out with that. And I've seen in the 20 years we've been doing this, a huge change. It used to, and they even called it, you know, fire season and summer fire season, and it's year round anymore. Because it's changed. No, it's not climate change. No, it's not global warming. But it is a change that has happened just in the last 20 years. That even these, what used to be the summer fire season, is now year round. Gatlinburg burned several years ago around Thanksgiving. That's not summertime. And it's certainly not summertime now. So we're seeing things change in our environment.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say that I think that what we see sometimes is there's a lot of things going on out there in the world that, from a spiritual perspective, I mean, it bears witness with your spirit that these things are going on, that God's on the move, that there's forthcoming things, that there's been some corrections or changes in the way that things are happening, and there's satanic might and majesty out there trying to, intervene or change or create their own reality. You know that it bears witness with your spirit, but it's interesting to me that how those things, as they manifest, they become provable in the physical world. I mean, we see these things coming out, as it goes along, and I think that goes back to faithfulness, that as you have faith in your God, that and as these things are revealed to you through God's power, that the physical manifestation is usually not far behind. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of get haughty, and that's where we think, well, see, that's what I told him. But, you know, I mean, the point is that God just gave us a heads up in the spirit early, and, you know, we appreciate it, but it says to test the spirits too. So we see those things going on, and it's like, wow, that's a confirmation. Sometimes it's like, well, that one was not that way, but nevertheless, it behooves us to always keep our situational awareness up, you know, and keep our heads up and our hearts and minds toward God's will and way, and so that we can be prepared, and so that we can help the remnant and the faithful to prepare for themselves for the things that are coming down the road, you know. So that's all I add.
Well, whenever you crown your first national champion female swimmer, that's not a female swimmer, if that might make the God who created everything a little bit angry.
Yeah, possibly.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. You know, that makes us mad. You know, because we speak honestly here, and it does. It, what do we say? It ticks us off, right? And the Word talks about that. And I know we have to control our words, and I don't want to use a different word for that tick. But it does. It makes us mad. It makes us angry when we hear that stuff. And we are created in God's image. And I think it outrages Him. And I've been seeing more and more, whether it's social media, whether it's even a couple people talking in town, that, you know, these things are not right. They are not right. They go against nature itself. And, you know, why would God bless that? Why would He bless those that that push and promote that and accept that? You know, and it's not just that Disney. You know, Disney's, they've taken over everything. ESPN, you know, and all of that. But they've got a new a queer, same-sex kiss coming up in their new Buzz Lightyear movie. And, you know, not that we have little ones that are, you know, really watching that all the time. Like when we were growing up watching Old Yeller, I mean, things have changed a little bit. But Disney's pushing and promoting it, cramming it down your throat, because that's what they do. They are hell-bent on destruction. Oh, they call it progressivism and the way of the times and moving on. And boy, you'll get all but crucified if you come against it. But, you know, they just continue to dip down in that pile of pig poop and just serve it out to everybody. And everybody stands in line for their heaping, serving of it.
Well, it's so much the tail wagging the dog, because when you talk to people, I mean, I say that, I guess it's from my experience, but nobody around here wants that. You know, nobody thinks that's a good thing,
right,
for us. And I talk to people around the country, and so it's got to be such a small percentage that actually are pushing that, you know. But they got, well, the media, and then you can follow that rabbit trail all the way. But anyway, it's our responsibility to stand, and that can go all the way down to being just as simple as whenever you stand around the water cooler and somebody brings it up, you tell them, heck no, that's not right. I know it's not right. My Bible tells me it's not right.
Right.
God created men and women, and that's what it is. And it's our responsibility to stand and be different.
Amen.
Yeah, God has a lot of indignation for him, and it always reminds me of, I think it's Malachi 1, 4 maybe, where he was talking about Edom, and they said that they would return and build up their ruins. And he said, they can build, I'll tear down, and they'll be called the territory of wickedness and people with whom the Lord is indignant forever, you know. And that's still what's going on, you know. I mean, they're just trying to build it back up again. And, you know, I ask sometimes, it's like, well, let's see. It gets voted out. They get told no. And they're right back. You know, our people don't do that. I mean, usually when you ask somebody for something that's, oh, you know, there's a good possibility you'll be told no or that it might not work, but you ask and they get told no, they kind of go away with a bit of a sad face or cast down countenance, whatever. It's like, well, okay, you know, and they don't. And those enemies of God, man, they just come back with a vengeance, you know, and they're gonna do it anyways, and they're going to ram it down your throat whether you like it or not. And it's like, it's not, I mean, we have, what we're talking about here is righteous indignation about what's going on as far as a lot of this stuff goes. And so it's no wonder God's indignant with them forever, because they're just going to keep on doing it forever.
That's right. Until they are stopped. Until they are stopped. How many times have we heard, you know, sometimes you just have to say no. And Josh, like you said, that's, you know, especially around the water cooler, you know, or in the feed store, or even the grocery store. Man, oh man, our grocery store has just gotten, it's like, it almost seems like it, that's half the people that will come to work, you know, or the purple streaked hair and the men dressed up as women, and it's sickening. It is. And yeah, this mess in the, whatever it is, NCAA or whatever, the, especially the women's swimming, it is just, it's flipping the bird to God. It really is. Whether they know it or not. And, you know, that guy that's, you know, just couldn't do anything, sure wasn't winning anything until he, you know, wants to tell everybody he's a woman and relates to that. But, you know, even Chuck Norris, he relates to him, that guy. Chuck Norris said he too was once a male trapped in a female's body. And so you think, you know, America's tough guy, Chuck Norris, oh my gosh. But Chuck Norris says then he was born and it worked out. And that's natural. And this other that is pushed and promoted is as unnatural. And yeah, it's the people around here don't want it. You talk to them, you talk to the people in the butcher shop and at the grocery store and, you know, the people anyway, that aren't crazy, and out of their right mind, right? Like the prodigal son was, he was out of his right mind. Because Jesus said that he finally came to his senses. Because when he was out of his senses, he thought that his job down there in the pig slop, feeding the pigs, wallowing in the slop with the pigs, that was good. That was liberated. That was freedom. And he thought, how does the saying go? He thought he was just fine, and he was poor and wretched and blind and didn't even know it. And that's where so many in our nation are today.
Well, I think that things are going in a direction to where God is going to get a hold of everybody's attention. This morning, I was talking with this guy at the coffee shop, and he works for a farmer here in the area. And he was talking about the fertilizer situation. Like, yeah, they bought early, but none of that means nothing because we don't have it yet. And he's like, if we can't get it, and like, he was concerned. And he said, but then on the other hand, you know, maybe we shouldn't be putting that stuff on the ground anyway. So he's questioning everything that's going on. But there are certain people that are in certain industries that, like, they see, you know, the writing on the wall, what's coming down the road. And you know, they're thinking that things are going to get worse. And, you know, that's how God gets a hold of people's attention, is you got to make them uncomfortable. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on nowadays that are, you know, people are understanding that, you know, I agree with you, Josh, that most people don't want the filth. You know, there's a select few, you know, what's going to be taught in the schools and promoted in the schools. You know, I'm kind of under the view, like with my children, I can't shelter them from this stuff. I have to teach them how to react when they see it, you know. And so they're after our children, and it's been a very effective tactic, and people are starting to wake up to that fact. And all these things that you see going on, people need to start understanding we've allowed this to take place in our land, and there's going to be a payday. And I think people are seeing that payday is getting very close.
Well, that's what Mr. Powell talks about, and he's so right, that this is their system. And if I was going to set up a system, it would be beneficial to me and my people and people of God. Well, they have set up their system to be beneficial for them and for their God. And as you just said, they've done a pretty good job of setting it up on the physical side, and they paint a heck of a picture to back up their case. But you know, the one little flaw on it is that God is still God, and He's still in control, and He wants us to choose Him and to choose His system. And when we do that, there's so much power that comes from it. I've always loved that song, Stout-Hearted Men, and that's so easy to see in your everyday life, because it is hard to be that one guy that says something different, does something different, says no, you know, standing alone. But whenever you do it, it makes it easier for the next guy, and then it's exponentially easier for the third and the fifth and the tenth. And so we just got to remember that whenever you're that guy that's standing there alone, you're not standing there alone. You're standing there with Christ and with truth and the Word, and that's all you need to be victorious.
Well, I think the churches in this land have done a very good job to push people in the direction that our God, our Jesus, only hung on the cross to make sure that we go to heaven and we spend eternity up in a great place. And I know you guys have heard me say this before. I want that too, you know. But also, God has a political system. And what system are we going to choose? And when we choose God's political system, they don't have a prayer. They don't have a chance. And they, no matter what they do, it's game over. So it really is up to us. And, you know, we've heard Pastor Peters talk about the Baal priest behind the pulpits. And, you know, our people believe what they have said. You know, like I asked this one guy the other day, he was telling me about, you know, his Christian belief. And I asked him, how do you know? What mental exercise have you done to ensure that whatever that preacher is telling you is correct? And we were talking about a specific topic. He goes, well, I actually haven't studied that out. And I go, everything you're telling me is hearsay. Because I can tell you specifically why I have the point of view that I have is because I studied it with the Bible. And, you know, and this guy's a Christian that goes around, does evangelizing and stuff like that. And I had him. I mean, he could do nothing. And it was actually a good feeling. But, you know, how do these people know? It's because of what they've been told. They don't know anything. And they don't understand that God's system is a political system. It's more political written in the Bible than personal salvation. I mean, we all know that here. So once the people realize that, it's game over for them. That's my opinion.
Well, it's Christianity is actually government. He said, I'll be the, you know, the ruler in Isaiah. What does he say? I'll be the king of the church. Christianity is a...
what he says, Uncle Paul, is what he says, Uncle Paul, is the government will rest on his shoulders.
That's right.
That's what he says.
Well, that's where I'm going on. That's where I'm going on that. But it's Christianity is a government. It's not this. See, the seminaries were taken over around 1900, and they've all gone to seminaries for the most part, and they got destroyed. Rather than you go into the book of Acts and they study the word to see if he was right, and this is what they need to do, and that's what you just talked with this guy. He didn't know when to look what to do. You talk biblical truths to people that go to church, you're talking, you know, you might as well be talking Spanish to them, and they don't know it because they don't even got a clue. They stand on stuff that, like you say, it all hearsay. They don't know the word. See, and this is why you got to know the word from beginning to end, who this Bible is written for, who it's doing. He's leading Israel on a journey since the Garden of Eden, actually, through Egypt, and look where all the places it's been, through Europe and ended up here. And it ain't going nowhere. This place is not going anywhere. It's going to be redeemed again. So whoever wrote that obituary for Scriptures of America, I'd like to shoot him between the eyes, because this ministry is going nowhere. Look how it survived.
Yeah, but we're going to be, we're all blasting off on the rapture rocket. So that's what, this may be here. But we said a sinner's prayer 20 years ago. Now we got our ticket on the ride. So.
It is unfortunate that is how so many people think. It really is. It really is.
Well, you know, you've got to be available to people. And what most people, they want to talk. Talk. They want to push religion down your throat. You listen to a person, and when you get a point, you ask a question and on the Bible, because you've got to put the burden of proof back on them where they have to actually defend what they think, and most of them cannot do it. But most people, like I said before, when if you're talking something about spirit and you think you're really getting somewhere, when they change the subject, they went into mental overload, and that's time for you to shut up. But up to that point, you know, you got, I'm coming, but... people want to talk too much. Jesus always, he hardly ever answered a question. He always asked a question. And that's just a very strong thing. And yes, you take these farmers, they're a pathetic group. They got their hand out for every benefit the government got to give them, too. You know, they don't look at the Bible for it. They plant their hybrid seeds, and I get these magazines for the fruit and vegetable industry, and they're always going to develop a new resistant thing. Well, nobody even goes back to ask, you know, to why it's here. The, Amos talks about the mildew and stuff that will overrun you. You cannot believe the billions of dollars spent on fungicides in this country. It's all a secondary issue because they haven't done it God's way.
Amen. Well, Remnant... phone lines are open, and I'll give it to you, Zach. 307-745-5913 if you want to join the conversation. And, Zach, go ahead. We'll go back to you.
Well, there's another thing I was talking with that guy this morning, and he was telling me, and this guy, I don't think he's planted a garden, and I don't even know how long. And I've known him a long time. And he's like, plant your garden. He's like, get ready, because – it's coming. And I mean, and this guy here, you know, Paul and I have actually sat there before, and I remember one time he come up and talked to us, and he understood that we were talking about the Bible, and we said, and one of us said, well, if you want to sit down and join us, he said nope and get up and walked away. So this guy understands, you know, something is coming. He understands. And so he said, you know, he said, get ready. You know, so if there's not a time to love your neighbor as yourself, then if now's not the time, then I don't know when is, but we always should have done that. But, you know, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else. But, you know, it's get ready, prepare yourself, because, you know, I think that there's going – we've read in the Old Testament many times before how there is repentance, and that was the catalyst to get the hand of God to move. And, you know, we might be seeing that here in the next near future. And it's exciting times. It's not time to be scared or nervous or anything like that. You know, it's time to be, you know, this is the time that we've been waiting for. And because they're going down. They are going down. Their system can't sustain itself. And they're going down. And God's will be done. That's just the way it is. And so I'm glad to be living in this time. I really am.
Amen.
And I'm also glad to be part of exposing the false doctrine. You know, I mean, what a greater honor that, you know, the four of us that are here, we, you know, that God allows us, because I know that I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, but he's allowing me to be one of his tools to help expose false doctrine, not in this way and in other ways, you know, and every one of us has that opportunity sometime during the week to expose it. And we have to look at, like, we are in spiritual warfare at all times. And, you know, it's exciting times, and, you know, I don't rate to be chosen. But for some reason, I don't know why, but he gave me eyes to see. And, you know, it truly is an honor.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to call with a piece of good news. This is that old Waddy Cowboy talked to you a few weeks ago about what's going on down here in the Gila in the Southwest. And we talked about them wild cattle they were shooting.
Yes.
And there was quite a bit of resistance about it at the wrong time, but the guys they hired to shoot them was predator control guys. And there was one guy in there that he savvied cattle. Anyway, they sent them guys up there, and they were supposed to shoot 160 head of them cattle. And, of course, everybody here prayed on it. And they got up there, and that old boy that worked for Predator Control said he wouldn't shoot nothing with an earmark or a cow with a calf on her. So I think they took out a lot of them bulls, but I think they shot 65 head, and by gosh, the wind started blowing terrible. They had 2 days to do it, and they had to ground that helicopter, and we kind of thought maybe that was the good Lord at work. And about that time, two of the surrounding ranger districts, head rangers, said they publicly stated there would be no cattle shooting going on in their forest. So that thing kind of come around, and I just thought that was a good piece of news to share with y'all.
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that. That is.
Yeah. Well, you know, this Agenda 21 Forest District they have is all the things y'all been talking about. They got some real woke liberal people running this deal, you know, and we know what they are. They're the Antichrist, and the Lord Spirit stood up against them, and I thought that was a great deal.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think that ties right in with, it was mentioned earlier, Josh, you mentioned about, you know, stout-hearted men, that, you know, when it comes down to it, the SWAT team's on one side, the Red Sea's on the other, and you have to make that choice. If you make that right choice, if you're one of Christ's, then and it was some quote from World War II, it strengthens the spines of others. And it kind of breaks the spell that most of our people are in, it might have been that woke those other rangers up and said, hey, wait a minute, we're not doing this.
I believe that's right. I think that it was the spirit, you know, and I think that people woke up and saw that, and I think they were trying to set a precedent. Hey, if we can get away with it here, you know, for the $44,000 they spent to have them guys go in there and shoot, I could have hired a crew of cowboys that were qualified to gather them with the snap of a finger for that kind of money. But hey,
but see, that would work. See, that would be productive and constructive. and put money in a good place, and it would work. And that's not their goal. That's not their goal. I see that California has a new bill up to prevent agricultural animal use and to close every slaughterhouse in the state.
Boy, that didn't surprise me.
And they just may pass it. You know, they can eat tofu from here on out. That's what they think.
Yeah.
And
well, and that's the deal. You know, people seen right through it, and I just think it's a good Lord's spirit. You know, like you said, stout-hearted men started standing up a little bit, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And like you said, that if you've done it right, like they've done for years, the problem is to go to work for the government, you got to have a DUNS number. Well, the people with the DUNS number probably ain't the people can get the cattle gathered off the rough country. And there's a gal here that got all the contracts on the feral cattle and stuff. They give her a contract for $350,000 to gather some cattle out of the blue back here by the sit graves. $350,000. They bought her half a mile of panels, and she gathered 18 head. Figure that out on your tax bill. You know, they gathered 18 head, and this gal that gets all the contracts, well, she couldn't turn a cow around the 40-acre field. Would have no idea how to do it. But that's who they give the contracts to.
That's right.
They, you know, waste our money.
That's right. That's how it is. Well, brother, thanks for the update. Thanks for the call this morning.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. Well, that's a bit of encouragement from the front line, I do believe.
The reason why that girl or that lady gets those contracts is she's a business owner, and she's what's known as a disadvantaged business owner. So if you're black or a woman or whatever, and then that means you're disadvantaged. So when you come up, when you step up at the federal money plate or even at the state, then that means you're disadvantaged, so you get put in front of the line. It doesn't matter how qualified you are, but you get put at the front of the line, and that's why he gets that contract. Now, I don't know exactly where that gentleman's from, but that's the way it works where I'm from, and I've seen it several times, how that kind of stuff go down. So that's why she gets it.
And at disadvantage, yep. to clarify, means anything other than a white male.
Correct.
That's right. Yeah.
And it, you know, my line of work, my past line of work, that was the same thing. There was a certain amount of money, a certain percentage of the money that you spent that had to go to those groups. And if you didn't have a good option, you just had to pick the lesser of the evils because it was a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
then we got to sit there and listen on the news how much that we've taken advantage of them. And the thing of it is, if you look at the general scheme of things, there's not many of them taking advantage of that because I don't know why, but I mean, it's there, but you know, it just shows you how uneducated that those people are as well.
So, well, yeah. And there's a total lack of initiative there. You know, there's no initiative in those type of people. It's like they want somebody to fill their plate and spoon feed them. And, you know, that's the problem with the government going in there and attempting to do any of that and owning that ground and all that in the first place. It's wrong on so many levels that addressing it becomes almost a full-time job because it's like, well, what's wrong with this, you know, system? And it's like, the list goes on and on. It's like Paul said, God has a system, and God has a package deal, and that's what they want to do. You take the whole package, and they want to fracture it, and then that way, when they divide it, why they can conquer it, they think. You know, and it's like, no, these things are all tied together, and they all work together for good in God's plan and purpose. But the way you guys do it is it's a big mess. You know, I mean, it's like, there's no equity, there's no justice, there's no reward for hard work or the utilization of experience and intelligence. Instead, we're left with lazy people that are paid inequitably when we know that God's rule says if you don't work, you don't eat, you know, and those sort of things just, I mean, the axiom and the list just, they fly. I mean, there's just a ton of reasons why that whole system doesn't work, you know, and God's system does, so.
But it all boils down to it is Satan's counterfeit kingdom shining through
yeah.
this counterfeit system that has everything backwards. It is a backwards misrepresentation. But I think it was Zach earlier talking about us crying out. And so scripture this morning, Psalms 27:7 says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsaken me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path, because my foes do not deliver me over to the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and that, you don't have to sit on your thumbs and wait for God. I don't think that's what anywhere in the Bible do we see where you can't be productive and doing His work and waiting on Him. But timing is so important. And I know we've seen it time and time again, hearing the different stories, conversations with we group of men have had together, you know, how we just fought something, and then whenever the time was right, it just happened, and it was like you couldn't have stopped it if you wanted to. And so it's every day we should be praying for Him to guide us, to show us what it is we're supposed to be doing, to prepare ourselves, our minds, our heart, both mentally and physically, for whatever challenge is sitting there waiting for us tomorrow. You know, as soldiers, we should be doing that work. And just as that scripture said, it's our duty to cry out to the Lord, and to point out how wrong everything is that's going on. Whenever you, when you don't speak up, it is like you are condoning something if you just go along with the system.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, silence is agreement, And there's times, you know, it may be the opportunity that we're presented with to not be silent, you know, is an opportunity for us to grow, and an opportunity to plant that seed. So don't let it pass by.
Well, you know, we got this stranger ruling over us. That's God's promise that would happen to us, that these people getting that kind of money, and they're strangers to us. But see, you take who's running the churches today. They all shut down over this pandemic. I bet you Sisters of America was open every day, and a few others are open every day that defied them. But see, the thing of it is, the vast majority of churches today, the 501 seem to shut right down, just like the, you know, Rome told them to do. And that's the problem. There's always some salt out here. It'll never go away. But the vast majority of people, you know, they hid in their house with their mask on, trying to get away from that virus. But it's all fear of the wrong God. You know, when I thought about that, you know, God said that not a hair falls on my head that He don't know above my day. I'm going to die. The point enough is from being stubborn, not vaccination, so be it. But anyway, He knows. So now I'm not going to live in fear. That's my problem. So, but the vast majority of people fear the wrong God in this country, and this is why this stranger is getting away with what he does. This was a white Christian nation, if you don't forget. And then look at the women and the other races that we have in our government. Now, some of these guys are really speaking out. You know, Ted Cruz and the governor and stuff, and the other one, that Kennedy, and some of the people are really just hammering it right to them day in and day out, and we got to pray for them. But there is resistance there, and I'm sure there's resistance in Lansing, too, because things just ain't coming out like they want to. And the township I live in, they got $800,000 out of that stimulus thing, and they don't know quite what to do with it because we were in good shape to start with. But now they got to count to their God, the government. And see, this is where we got to go back to local government, straighten this out. The Hararuck feeds the great white oak, so we got to get the ground level. That's where it's got to be different.
That's where it starts. That's where it starts.
Yeah, like I remember when I right after 9/11, the fire department that I was on, they took a bunch of federal money, and I think that was from one of the I forget what they call it, but as soon as they took that money, then all of a sudden everything changed. We had to start our protocols and everything were different. And I don't know if that happened where you were at, Richard, but it was after 9/11. What did they call that act? Why can't I think of it? But anyways, when we took that money, then we had to change how we did everything. Like the continuing ed and everything I've changed. And, you know, it was because we were on that, you know, we were on the government teat, and, you know, they didn't want to lose that money. So, you know, that's why I ended up quitting, because I couldn't take all the politics with it.
Yeah, it is. It's like that all over. We saw it here, you know, the money that has come in, EMA, emergency management out here, you know, used to be one person, not even part-time. I mean, they just did nothing. You know, it just was not needed. It wasn't anything, you know, if you had something happen, you know, people took care of it. But after 9/11, the money started flowing. Oh, then it was a salaried position based on grants. And then the more grants, the more federal money they could secure for the locals, you know, the more they got to keep their job. To where now it's like I think they've got three people that work in the office and you know, a full-time grant writer and then two other full-timers. And it's all on just emergency management, just in case something comes up. anyway.
All that kind of stuff becomes becomes a justification to keep your position, you know, to validate the money for nothing scenario. You know, I mean, it's like, well, what if, and we got to have problems, and I have power, and I have, I want to validate who I am and what I'm doing in this position, and it's like, there's nothing there that can't be done by. I mean, the whole purpose of that fire department or sheriff's department or whatever is to mitigate or overcome the situations that arise, right? So they're doing emergency management, but we have to have a titled individual that answers back to someone else, and we have someone else who has no idea of conditions or situations in our area that's setting mandates and precedents for how different things are handled when they won't work,
you're describing their system.
Yes, that's the way they work. They don't have any, and God's system is the other way around. God's system is hard work, care for your neighbor, taking care of, doing that extra little bit and being part of your community and you have boots on the ground and know what's going on. And you know, when you look at those two things, one is the Bible describes it as a reflection in a mirror darkly, and you can see why that it's a shadow. I mean, it accomplishes nothing, it has no substance. You know, it kind of looks like an outline, like God's way of doing things, but there's no results. There's no outcome. And the other thing is as soon as there's a problem, it all just goes up in smoke. I mean, down there in your neck of the woods, Josh, you know, what was it, FEMA or whatever, they couldn't even get water to the Superdome, you know, during the... It was like, well, it's right over there. And, you know, people finally come in and we're like, well, we can get it over there. We don't have to fill out paperwork and come up with a 3-day plan and, you know, allocate budgeting. We can just make it happen.
Amen to that.
And once again, whenever people step up and do those kind of things, it takes power away from their system because it kind of opens people's eyes of, hey, you know, we don't need them to do this. We don't need this them to take care of our neighbors and to provide for ourselves. And, you know, what you saying that brings me back to the example of us cutting our way out to the main highway during the hurricane. You know, what started out with one tractor and then whenever it made it to the next guy's driveway, there were two tractors. And before you know it, working on down the road, there's five tractors and a dozen people with chainsaws. And by the time we got to the main highway, you had an army of people that were working down through there, clearing the roads out. And nobody had a handout or anything. They were just helping, you know, neighbors. And you had black and white and men and women, and nobody cared. They were just working, doing what was right. And it would have took months to facilitate something like that, you know, in a situation like that from the federal government, and cost millions of dollars for what,
a
community could do for a barrel of diesel, you know, in everybody's time. So
it's the accomplishment of a task set before you with diligence, you know, and they don't have any diligence. They're just interested in their specific details like paperwork and authorizations and budget allowances and, you know, environmental studies and a lot of that other stuff.
It really makes them no difference if it gets accomplished or not.
No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, it guarantees their job. You know, yeah. Yeah. Guarantees a continuation of their position in the false government, you know. So, and in the meantime, people suffer, and people are, but that means nothing. So we see that going on all the time.
Somebody had said earlier about, with, you know, our children and them being after our children. Well, the best way you can train your children to be different is to do it in front of them, because they're going to look at what we're doing, and a lot of the time they're going to mirror that. They're going to do what you say. You know, you can tell them all you want to, hey, do what I say, not what I do. But when the rubber meets the road, they're going to see how it worked out for you, and that's the path they're going to go on. So if you don't expose somebody to that good feeling you get whenever you tackle a job and complete it, and I don't want to say pride because that's not the right term, but there's a sense of fulfillment that goes along with that, knowing that you did something good. And that it worked out well.
Joy.
And
right.
Yeah. And if you don't show your children that and expose them to it, they're not going to know it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing situation there when we just things get done when you do it God's way. So, I think that's one of those things. We look at a lot of these things, and it's like, well, nothing ever changes. And it's like, well, then that's not God's way of getting it done, because God seems to work through a catastrophic situation, you know. And those are kind of, I mean, they're kind of, if you look through your Bible, there's a lot of instantaneous changes there due to catastrophic, you know. When it changed in a day, you know. Yeah. And I mean, one of their favorites, well, Rome wasn't built in a day. No, but God's kingdom was. You know, so.
Well, it's like you said earlier, Tim, if you don't work, you don't eat. Your stomach creates the motivation to actually go out and do something. And with everything that we're talking about, your Satan system, Satan's system tries to eliminate that motivation to do anything good or anything proper. And, you know, and God does have the ability. It's like you were saying there, Josh, about their hurricane, and people just went out and were doing the right thing. The motivation was there, because if they waited on the God of the system, then it might have taken 3 weeks, and they needed it done right now. So, you know, I mean, just do the right thing. Be people of integrity. And, you know, I mean, you really shouldn't have to have God to motivate you to be a person of integrity. And, you know, people will learn sooner or later, I guess.
Well, that's what we got the word to line it out for.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things you don't need to pray about. You just need to read about and say, okay, well, this is what the instruction manual says. This is what I do. I'm not saying not to pray about it, but we shouldn't have to pray about, well, Lord, should I steal this or not?
Right, exactly.
Because there's a rule for that.
And his people really don't. They know. They may go against that law written on their heart, but they know. They know. I like how you put that, though. Yeah, all we have to do is read about it. Just read about it. And, you know, be neighborly. That just about covers it. You know, love your God, love your neighbor. That, you know, if just that were taught. But that is not. It's not at all. Well, guys, we are out of time. What a morning. Yep, battery charge says full. Appreciate it. Thank all you men for joining us this morning. We thank you, Remnant, for joining us and for being part of the Scriptures for America family. We sure couldn't do it without you. And we do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That's 7:30 out on the West Coast. And join us at scripturesforamerica.org. We will plan on the live video stream going up then. And we'll have a review of the news, a timeless pulpit truth, a new message for you as well, give you the opportunity to partake of communion. So we do encourage you to join us. Thanks this morning, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 rolling,
shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our